So I mean, that's amazing. You just got a cold call, and that's what actually catapulted you more quickly into this. So was it the model that changed, or your belief that changed, or just you seeing what was possible and your why that changed?
It was just seeing what was possible. It was limiting beliefs all over the place. Like, I think one of them asked me, like, what would your ideal kind of income be? And I was like, if I could make 5K, I think, from property or something like that, then I would be happy. And they were just like, that's ridiculous. And I was like, I don't know what I'd do with more than 5K. But over time, and then we went to Marbella and we're racing supercars. And I was like, okay, I can see what I would do with more than 5K.
Welcome to the Location Independent Startup Show. Here we discuss business, lifestyle design, personal development, and much more with some very special guests and experts who have been there and done that. Learn how to live life on your terms with me as your host, British entrepreneur and investor, John Cavendish.
Hello, and welcome back to the Location Independent Startup Show. Today with Emil.
Hey, guys.
Emil is a health and wellness coach. We've been part of the same community for a long while and got to know each other better during lockdown, which is, you know, a benefit of Zoom calls and reaching out to a lot of people. I've seen many people get amazing and lasting results working with Emil, so I wanted to get him on the show to talk about both his business, his ethos, and his methodology. So yeah, great to have you on the show, Emil.
Great to be here and good to have a proper conversation about all this stuff.
That was awesome. And yeah, originally when we talked, you were in, where were you, Malaysia?
Chiang Mai.
Oh,
no, Chiang Mai. We hung out in Chiang Mai briefly. I think we had a catch up.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, I was locked down in Malaysia at the time and you did your, I can't remember what you called it, your Corona catch up something. And I was like, let's do it. Why not? And the rest is history.
That was a great experience. Like, I think when I posted that, I got like 20 calls in 3 weeks or something. And at one point I had like three or four in a day. Wow. It was a very busy time during Corona, but it was really good. Like, I came out of it so positive. And I realized now actually it was a bit of a come down off that after lockdown. Because during lockdown, I talked to so many people. Yeah. And after lockdown, once we go out again, I stopped talking to so many people. I got stuck behind my laptop again, working online. So yeah, it's great to catch up again.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So, how did you get to where you are now? Because I know you're actually a medical doctor, Dr. Emil.
Yes.
How did you end up traveling the world and being such a boss?
I became a medical doctor because my dad said you should become a medical doctor, and I was like, at 16, yeah, all right, sounds good. Seems like my life is sorted. I don't need to think about anything. I just need to pass exams. And I was all right at that. So I did that. And during university, I did the standards, student things, drank a lot, played rugby, passed all my exams and became a doctor. And then after, I don't know, 3 years of being a full-time doctor, I kind of started to realize that this wasn't what I wanted to do. One, medicine wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. It wasn't fixing people. It was just putting band-aids over problems. And two, I didn't like being told what to do. I didn't like doing night shifts. I didn't like the bureaucracy and the politics of working in a, you know, a system like the NHS, the National Health Service in the UK. So I started to plot my escape. So I started kind of figuring it out in 2014. And by August 2015, I had left full-time medicine. And I didn't actually know what I was going to do. I didn't even know really what an entrepreneur was. I don't think I'd ever heard of Gary Vee at that time. I hadn't read any books about anything really. And then, so I started with Instagram and I started being an Insta, I don't know, whatever, influencer in very big inverted commas. But that's why I did bodybuilding. I was like, right, I know a lot about science. I know a lot about fitness. I work as a coach and to promote it, I'm going to get shredded, compete as a bodybuilder, do the whole marketing thing. And I did that for a couple of years to very, very mediocre results. During the time, I also experimented, tried and failed with multiple businesses, webinars, courses, Botox, aesthetics, stuff like that. Lots and lots of things. Most of them failed. Tried to open a gym, all these other things. And then in 2017, I kind of had a moment where everything kind of changed. I figured out what an entrepreneur was. I met some people who were traveling the world running their online Amazon businesses. And I was like, right, this is what I want. So set some big goals for 2018, hit them. And then that was my first DCBKK end of 2018, which is the Dynamite Circle big conference of the year in Thailand. And initially I was just going to go out for a couple of months to Thailand. And my girlfriend who came out with me was like, why are we coming back to the UK? You know, why don't we just stay out there? So we did. And then now I've left the UK. I live in Portugal. If it wasn't for Corona, I'd be traveling and running an online business. But it was very classical kind of, you know, nothing inflection point.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people have that as well. I mean, especially when we start a new business, we always underestimate how long it's going to take to get the offer right. To get growth, and then we get growth. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, you said in 2017, you had a moment of change, like an inflection point. Was that like a change of belief or was it change of strategy?
So
model.
So prior to that point, as I said, I didn't even know what a business was. Mm-hmm. I just knew what other people were doing as online coaches. And I was copying that blindly, literally blindly. Like you say about modifying the offer. I didn't even know what an offer was. Mm. I was just like, I can get you lean. I'll charge X amount because that's what everyone else charges. I had no concept of marketing apart from posting ab shots and pictures of protein oats on Instagram. That was literally it. And in 2017, I literally got a cold call from a guy who knew me through a photographer I'd worked with in a supplement shop where I kind of, you know, bought some bits. And basically this guy was running an event for entrepreneurs. There were eight of us in different industries, software guy, copywriter, a couple of Amazon guys, me and a couple of other people, a dating coach. Mm-hmm. And he invited me to this event in Italy for 4 days just to hang out and learn from each other. As I said, cold call. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. And I kind of said, let's do it. And that basically blew my mind. And that 3-4 day trip ended up a 3-week road trip across Europe from Italy to Spain, where I then hung out with 30 other entrepreneurs, Amazon guys, who were literally flying in from all over the world. We were racing supercars. We were, you know, we were spent a day on a yacht and then got a dinghy into a club and were like partying. And I was just sitting there shitting myself, hosing cash that I didn't have. Just like, I don't know what this world is, but I want it. And actually the point was when the guys said, right, we want you to coach us. We want to pay you 10 times what I was charging at the time. And we want you to come to this event in Marbella. It's going to be 3 weeks commitment. And I so easily could have said no, because I had, you know, medical shifts I had to do. I was talking at an event. I had all these other commitments. I easily could have made the excuse, but I knew if I said no, I was saying no to the life that I wanted and didn't even know I wanted. So I said yes. And as I said, the whole time I was just shitting myself. But it changed my life. Totally, totally changed my life.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's amazing. You just got a cold call and that's what actually catapulted you more quickly into this. So was it the model that changed or your belief that changed or just you seeing what was possible and your why that changed?
It was seeing what was possible. I mean, the model changed by definition, because the old model just didn't work. But it was just seeing what was possible. It was limiting beliefs all over the place. Like, I think one of them asked me, like, what would your ideal kind of income be? And I was like, if I could make 5K, I think, from property or something like that, then I would be happy. And they were just like, that's ridiculous. And I was like, I don't know what I'd do with more than 5K. But over time, and then we went to Marbella and we're racing supercars. And I was like, okay, I can see what I would do with more than 5K. So it was simple as that. And actually my goal for the year after was to make more money. And I made a shitload more money, but it was time. And I was basically working more as a doctor. I was doing like locum shifts. I was doing bits and bobs. I had loads of random hustles going and I earned a large amount of money, but I was working constantly. It wasn't a business. It was me just working more. And that was 2018. And in 2019, I really started. I got a business mentor in March 2019. And then that was the second inflection point. So the first one was September 2017. The second one was March 2019.
That's awesome.
You have two inflection points?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, you can have many, many inflection points all over your entire life, don't you? Like, meeting a woman, graduating uni, figuring out what you want to do. There's probably, like, I think everyone, they say, has like at least 7 inflection points, and you can actually map them on a graph if it's a good point or a bad point, because there's many negative and many positive. So yeah, I mean, it's funny you should say that, because I had the exact same experience, like coming out to Vietnam. Like, if I could only make 2K a month on the internet, I could like support my basic living costs so that I could do something else. And then, you know, I started growing other businesses, FBA. And then I think the difficult thing there though is like changing it from that mentality of, if I can only make 2K, if I can only make 5K, if I can only make 20, if I can only make 30, if I can only make 200K a month, like it just goes on forever if there's no reason to...
Correct.
Yeah, reason to be, there's no real goal, because the money, the number becomes the goal, like you said, in 2018, and then you just work for the number.
Yeah.
And there's no life outside of that. There's no reason for it. It's just a number. I remember my goal originally was, if I can put 20 grand, you know, in the UK in my bank account, then I've got a buffer. So if anything goes wrong, I don't need to go and get a job again.
Yeah.
And then when you pass that number, you just set yourself another number, don't you?
Yep.
And there's no reason behind it. So I think, that's super important and a good lesson for a lot of people. So there's a few things actually you said there. You said you just wanted to pass it, you know, you knew how to pass exams, so you did medicine. And I did engineering because of the same thing. You know, I knew how to pass exams. I realized that, I was good at those subjects, so I did engineering. I always thought medical doctors weren't like me, and they actually had a reason to do it. So that's very interesting. And once you got into medicine, how did you get out? Because I know people that are watching in the US will think you're in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. You're just in the same amount of debt as, I guess, everybody else. But I always felt medicine was even more of golden handcuffs than anything else, because you're super well qualified and you know what you can do, but you have to do medicine.
Yeah.
So how did you, what was your mindset around that?
So, first off, I actually really enjoyed being a doctor. Mm. I worked in ER. After I left full-time, I worked in ER for a number of years to kind of soften the transition from 2015 to 2019. Mm. I literally did shifts last year. And I loved emergencies. When shit hit the fan, I was in my element. And I worked a lot of night shifts, and I, you know, kind of ran the ER department from the doctor side. Absolutely loved it. But then, and that was maybe 10 or 15% of the time. The rest of the time, total bullshit. So that was enough for me. Like, I like this, but it's not exactly what I want to do. So the way I kind of left, first off, we are in quite a lot of debt in the UK, but nowhere near as much as in the States. I think there's grants for the last few years in university. I did my degrees before a certain cutoff where they suddenly tripled the price of...
Yeah, I think we're in the same one. We got the 3K a month when they charged exactly. About... Yeah, we're in that. In the band between the 1 and the 10.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, ultimately, I have about, I think, £4,000 of student debt left, which I'm just considering paying off just to get it done. And that's not through any special, like, overpaying or anything. That's just me ignoring it for the last, you know, however many years. Anyway, it's not much. The bigger thing, however, for doctors is that it's a conveyor belt with high sides. Mm. So you just kind of, you know, you can't get off easily because you're trapped in a mindset kind of thing. You feel there's this like sunk cost bias. Yeah. You've spent 6 years in university and you just don't do that. You don't leave. You're well paid. You've got a good respected job status, all this other stuff. And as I said, when you need to apply for a new job, they send you an email. They say, you need to apply. This is what you need to do. Click this button. You almost can't not do it. So, and everyone is totally terrified. And the other big thing is people get on this, there's the actual career conveyor belt, but also doctors start buying stuff because they know they've got a salary. They know that it's going to go up. They know what they're going to earn. They know everything. So they start buying a house, which they know they can afford in 3 years' time, which means they're trapped. Because if they stop working or take a risk, they're not going to be able to afford it. They buy a car, which is maxed out. And very often, and I don't want to generalize or stereotype, but very often, doctors are skint. They're living right on the edge because they're competing with each other and the Joneses and whatever else. So they haven't got any wiggle room. And then they're doing extra shifts to cover their income, so they haven't got any time to do anything else. Thankfully for me, I bought a house, but it was well within my means. I bought a car. But I bought it pretty much outright, and it was an old BMW. So I wasn't shackled. And actually, when I left, I was doing A&E, sorry, ER shifts. So I still had a regular income. And there was some fear. There was a lot of fear. But I was still, and I tricked myself. I said, I'm going to do this for a year. And then I can always go back. And it's easy enough. And then it was 2 years. And then it was 3 years up until literally last year. And then it was literally Corona that said, that caused me to actually leave fully and say, I'm never going to go back. My business is big enough and stable enough. I've got multiple sources of income. I've got enough cash in the bank. And I've left the UK now. I'm not going back. So it was a multi-layered process that happened gradually over time. I'm not going to pretend I suddenly had, you know, a spark of courage and decided to leave. It was very planned, basically.
Yeah, and I think that's how a lot of people do it. Like, everyone thinks, like, people hear these stories of people quitting their jobs and just going out on their own and eating ramen noodles. But most of us, the most people I know, didn't do that either. You know, we took steps, we started something on the side, and then it grew. But it's interesting you talk about, like, lifestyle inflation, because I was reading an article and it said, like, a third of doctors in the US, this is in the US where money's even bigger, that earn 300K a year, don't have any savings.
Yeah.
And I found that incredible, because somebody else who's earning 40K a year would think, oh, I'm going to be so rich if I have $300,000. But yeah, just that, just gets eaten up by all of this stuff.
Yeah. And that's my experience with doctors. They just tend to be, they've got, I really don't like to generalize, but there is potentially a poor money mindset with doctors. I don't know if scarcity, I don't know whatever it is, or if it's just a normal mindset. But yeah, as you say, people are living on edge, even as their salary goes up year on year. And it's much smaller in the UK. I mean, I think the average consultant salary is just over 100K in GBP, something like that.
I mean, it's still good money for the UK.
It's good money. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. It's very, very comfortable living. But yeah.
I agree.
They just spend it all.
They just spend it all, yeah. And because of that reason, actually, I met, when I was doing Tony Robbins a while ago, I met some of these physicians who, you know, physicians in the US, but they had a blog on property, on like helping physicians invest in real estate. They had the niche on that. And it was amazing market because they could sell these people expensive stuff when they launched a course. So they did a course launch on, you know, helping physicians buy real estate and made like 300K in 10 days or something. Because they could, you know, they did a done with you course, 10 weeks. They made the videos as they went along, sold it for $2,500 a pop. Like, it was an amazing business launch because they have, I think it's a great demographic and a great demographic to identify with, because people with money who don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
So you were traveling the world. Now you've settled in Portugal. Why Portugal?
I was just traveling the world and then, you know, half based in the UK. And then I kind of realized that I wasn't in the UK for most of the year. So why stay in the UK? I mean, the weather is gray 90% of the time, you know, summer, winter, it's gray. And then in the winter it rains more. So I was just like, why am I here? I really wanted to stay in Europe because I love Europe. There's a lot for it to offer. So, you know, we decided to go to Portugal, and actually we didn't really plan on staying in Portugal insofar it was going to be a European base. We were going to travel around Europe. We were going to then go back to Asia or South America over the winters. But then with Corona, we were trapped in Malaysia for a couple of months. As soon as we could, we made sort of a dash back to Lisbon. And then we were like, okay, look, travel is a pain in the ass at the moment. Let's actually settle in Lisbon. And to be honest, it's been an absolute dream. That we were speaking just before you started recording about how nice it is in Lisbon at the moment. But do you know what? It's also nice to like have a second monitor for my work and have a gym, which I can go to regularly. It's the same gym and, you know, all these actual benefits of being in one place. So, you know, people talk about freedom and freedom is being able to travel where you want, but freedom is also being able to choose not to travel if you don't want to. So it's a really nice kind of the dichotomy of freedom. Also talking about money, freedom is having a lot of money, but freedom is also having the time to use it and spend it. So you can go too far in either direction, like 2018 for me, where I was just making money and not spending it. Now I'm kind of working more towards this balance of having both. I want the freedom to stay in one place, but also the freedom to travel.
Yes, it's interesting you should say that, because yeah, I also believe like freedom comes through kind of discipline and also responsibility. Like I originally defined freedom as not having any responsibility at all, but actually that's very unfulfilling, and you just end up sitting on this, like laying on the sofa, or you're not really doing anything after a while because there's no reason to do anything. So that's a bit of a segue, I suppose, into your ethos. Because I've, yeah, like I said in the intro, I've seen a lot of guys get great results working with you and lasting results. So, you know, without giving away everything that you you do, like what is your ethos? Like how, when someone's working with you, how do you help them attain the results they want, whatever they may be, whether that's, you know, losing weight or getting super jacked?
Yeah, yeah. So one of my core values is health. And for me, health is the foundation for achieving anything else. My other two values are growth and freedom. And health interacts strongly with both of those. You can't really have either of those without a base of health. You can trick yourself and kind of hustle for years building a business and neglecting your health, but it will catch up with you. So anyway, health is a total base. So that's what I kind of shoot to help people with. That's my area of expertise. I've been doing it for the last, I mean, I started working in a gym at 18. I'm 33 now, so it's been a long time. And a lot of the industry is focused on rapid change, and they don't actually care about sustaining it. They just want a drop 20 pounds. Here's the before and after, boom. And then they disappear, and then the person goes back to where they were before or worse. And this is what happens, I would say, I don't know, 90% of the time, most people fail in the long term. So I was like, right, I want to actually help people succeed in the long term. Because again, coming from medicine, if someone had high cholesterol, they took a pill and it fixed it. And I left because I wanted to actually help people actually fix it. And you don't do that with 20 pounds drop and which they regain. You do that with 20 pounds drop, with a regular exercise habit, with, you know, really enjoying the process and just building and layering on these habits, which you do for the rest of your life. That's how you drop someone's cholesterol for good. So that's what I shoot for. That's my basic fundamental ethos. And, you know, the way to achieve that is not by changing your life overnight. It's not by going keto overnight or doing a boot camp and suddenly going from 0 to 7 sessions a week, because it's not sustainable. It's not real. That is not who you are as a person. It may be in the future, but it isn't right now. Your identity is totally averse to that. You can force it through willpower, but you can't sustain it. So for me, it's all about finding the minimum effective dose to start with, to start making change and start seeing progress. And then from there, you just layer on change super, super slowly, super, super gradually, with the assumption that, you know, it's going to be a rocky ride. There's going to be, you know, steps backwards. But over this whole time, you're building up this new identity. And then once people reach their goal, whatever it is, 20 pounds down, they've also achieved enough of their new identity, a critical mass of identity, that they can sustain this forever. And they just keep building on it. They just keep building on it. So yeah, there's two processes. One is dropping 20 pounds. That's what we sell. That's what people think they want. But in the background, we're constantly working on this identity shift and long-term sustainability. And people go crazy. They've dropped like 3 pounds. And I'm like, you need to think about the sustainability. And they're like, yeah, I've got another 20 pounds to drop. And I'm like, that will happen. That's easy. You can do that. I know. I'm not even worried about that. This is the bit I'm worried about. Because when you finish, I want to catch up with you in 6 or 12 months' time and for you to be in even better shape than when we finished, because you've evolved further. That's what I want to achieve. So that's my ethos summarized.
Oh, I like it. It's good. So you basically identity shift.
It has to be. It has to be.
So how does someone change their identity?
Through action and building confidence through wins. So, you know, the first week, it'll be, right, let's do X, Y, Z. It could be have a few less beers, start walking a little bit more, and, I don't know, eat some more vegetables, literally anything. And this is a partnership, so we decide together. And in that first week, they drop a pound or two. And every time they perform one of those actions, it's a vote for their new identity. And then as they get these wins and they see progress, they start to build confidence. And over time, you get more wins, the wins become bigger, you build more confidence, and that is identity shift. And when you fuck up, it's a vote in the wrong direction. But as long as more of the votes are in the right direction, and that negative vote doesn't cause you to think, you know, I don't care, I'm done with this isn't working, then you will change your identity over time. Atomic Habits is a book that goes into great detail with this. I send it to all my clients if they haven't read it. And even if they have, I just say, just read it again. It's not about nutrition in the slightest, but now that you can see what we're trying to achieve, there's a lot of overlap.
Yeah, so I listened to Atomic Habits recently as well, and it talks about tracking different things. So what are the things you track?
So with tracking, you can go to the nth degree. Mm. You can go infinitely into it. In the absolute most basic sense, to achieve progress, I generally recommend body weight because the body is the best tracker out there. If you're gaining weight, you're eating too much. If you're losing weight, you're eating a little bit less. It doesn't lie. There's no, you know, fudge room there. So body weights, energy intake. So tracking your food, and a lot of people kind of repulse at that, but I just think of it as a course in life and a course in your body. You learn about food, you learn what's in it, you learn how it affects your body. And after a period of time of tracking, you've learned how to drop weight, how to sustain weight, how to gain weight, how to drop weight quickly. You've got all this data. This data is invaluable. You can't find it anywhere else. Calorie calculators are bullshit. You need to find it out for yourself. And tracking isn't forever. It's just a tool to one, learn, and two, to get you to your goal as quickly as possible. So body weights and calories, you could get away with just those two. And then if you wanted a few more, maybe protein intake and exercise as a very qualitative description. Don't track calories for exercise. It's really bad. Just kind of 30 minutes of weights, 20 minutes of swimming, 40 minutes of cycling. But just that, that's all you need, really. So that's the absolute basics. And you can then expand it as much as you want.
That's interesting. And I always find it's interesting seeing some of your before and afters, not yours, but other people's. When yours before and afters are awesome as well, though. So we could actually insert a screenshot of that from when you went from like a huge power lifter to like super ripped. Yep. Of actually like how much weight people actually lose because, yep. And how much bigger they look after they've lost a load of weight. Because
yep.
I'm always surprised how light people are when they're lean,
yep.
compared to like the average weight of somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't mistake when I say it's all about identity shift and minimum effective dose. Don't mistake that with poor results or not getting to your goal quickly. Mm. Like the people I work with get to their goals at crazy rates, you know, like a kilo or 2 pounds a week for some people. And I'm almost like trying to put the brakes on because I know we're a borderline unsustainable here, but you know, people crush it. And then because of this background work, they sustain it as well. So yeah, there's some pretty crazy transformations that people get. But the key is like one guy, in one of my most impressive guys, he dropped 30 kilos. What's that, 60 pounds, something like that. And I'm still working with him 2 years later. And not only has he sustained it, he's now jacked. He's like deadlifting over 100 kilos. And he's never been to the gym before in his life. You know, broke his back, had a proper injury, and now he's like totally crushing it. Like that's life-changing. That's totally life-changing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've seen those pics too. Very cool. So what's your daily routine? You seem like a routine driven guy. Maybe.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're entirely right. And the thing with my lifestyle and I find entrepreneurs in general is our lives are a little bit crazy. There's a lot of randomness, especially when you're running a worldwide business. Sometimes you have calls early in the morning. Sometimes they finish late at night. The days are chaos. So a routine is a great thing, but you don't want to get so hung up on it that you fail to just do the basics that you need to do. So I have a routine, as in it's written out, and these are the things I'm going to do. And it's things like journaling, having a protein shake, going for a walk, meditating, all this kind of stuff. And I think I probably hit it all perfectly in order for the right amount of time, twice a year. But most of the time I hit most of it enough. And that's the key. It's Tim Ferriss kind of talks about it. It's like, yeah, you've got all these things that you want to do, but let's get some easy wins. Let's get some basics and just hit enough of them most of the time. So that's kind of what I shoot for. And I really don't beat myself up if I don't get it perfectly, because then you're losing any apparent benefits of your routine because of the stress that you're creating by not hitting it perfectly. Like it doesn't matter if you meditate for 3 minutes, 4 minutes or 5 minutes, the fact that you've stopped to breathe for a minute is infinitely more useful. If you miss it for a day, it's really not the end of the world, as long as you're doing it 80 or 90% of the time. So what I do have is I have a list of habits which I want to do often: reading, learning something new, walking, and journaling. Those are like my four key ones at the moment. And as long as I do them most days for some time, I give it a minute. If I get a minute, I tick the box. But if I start reading for a minute, I inevitably read for 20. If I start watching a video to learn something for a minute, videos are longer than a minute. So I watch the full video. So it's like 15, 20, 30 minutes. And say with my journal, I have to write one sentence. If I write one sentence, it counts as a win, but inevitably I write 4 or 5 pages once I get going. So that's kind of how I run my routines at the moment.
That's very cool. And I think that's another thing from Atomic Habits, isn't it? Doing like one page, one word, 1 minute, all that kind of stuff. I really like that.
Tim Ferriss as well. I think it's been around a few different places, but yeah, Atomic Habits is like the Bible for this kind of stuff.
That's really cool. I like it a lot. So yeah, what excites you at the moment? What are you excited about apart from caffeine?
Yeah, caffeine is definitely a thing. So I'm super excited. About Lisbon. Lisbon is absolutely perfect at the moment. It's actually nice having long evenings, long, cool evenings. It's very European, very nice. But also investing. I'm also really getting into investing. And I know it's just kind of like, oh yeah, everyone's getting excited about the stock market and all that. And
is it the stock market you're currently excited about, or is it other things? Because stock market seems to be a bit mental at the moment.
Oh, for me, I don't want to touch the stock market, but a lot of people are excited about it. I mean, every second person I talk to is, you know, blah, blah. Something about Tesla. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I think Tesla is insane at the moment also. Yeah.
It's Tesla, Kodak, Zoom back in March. Anyway, I avoid all that. I got stung by the Bitcoin excitement in 2017. So I learned my lesson. But, you know, as business is kind of, you know, the second inflection point of March 2019, last year, I've started to, you know, have some money to invest. So it's become an interesting thing, especially, you know, with the stock market going crazy and quantitative easing and, you know, COVID and whatever else. So I've taken a big interest in it, and I like doing it. I like thinking about it. And actually that's kind of, what's the word, enhanced by the fact that, you know, we talk about doctors spending all of their money. I'm a huge fan of relative minimalism. So I'm a huge fan of not spending all my money and actually living a very similar lifestyle, even as my income goes up, which means then that there's a lot of cash to invest and to do things with. So yeah, I think all those have kind of come together, you know, having more money, liking to not spend it, and you know, the current excitement about everything that, yeah, I'm quite enjoying it. And, you know, crypto for me is a very logical, interesting, I mean, it's the future of money as far as I'm concerned. So it's a no-brainer. I'm not investing to make a load of money from it. I'm investing because this is the way money is going. So,
It's crypto that you're mainly into now?
Crypto and metals.
Okay.
It's much more about wealth preservation for me than it is about, you know, speculating and making money. Like, my biggest investment at the moment is me and my business. Like, I will spend as much money as it takes for me, my learning, coaches, and my business, because the ROI is insane, much better than, you know, anything I could put in the market. So it's more about doubling down on that while investing in things which will preserve my wealth. However, crypto and metals are also, if anyone's following it in the slightest, are also very likely to increase in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years significantly. So that's a nice bonus.
I agree. I was umming and ahhing during lockdown, not knowing what to do. And I kind of also chose crypto and metals. Yeah. Because I also, sounds like similar to you, got FOMO in 2017, didn't really know what I was doing, didn't really lose much, but didn't gain anything much either. I decided to dollar cost average every month into crypto and metals as a hedge against whatever's going to happen. Because, you know, metals, if everyone tracks it, metals are up 50% in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
But they can still go up further because of all the quantitative easing and the fact that nobody knows what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. I think it's a great strategy. So yeah, anything else you want to share, really, or anything you'd like to share with the listeners? It's just putting you on the spot right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Nothing crazy, nothing magical.
So, yeah, I mean, how can people find you? How can people work with you?
Okay, so Emil Goliath on Facebook or Project Goliath on Instagram. My website is DrEmil.com, DrEmil.com. And then basically you can reach out on any of those. To be honest, I'm super happy to talk about this stuff anyway. I just like talking about it. But if you do want to kind of go to the next level and work with me, then, you know, reach out, let's jump on a call and I can talk you through the options. I recently launched an academy, which is basically like my previous coaching, but better, as in I've brought in experts to kind of cover gaps in my knowledge. So it's just an upgraded version. So that's really, really cool at the moment. We launched about 4 weeks ago. We've got, we've kind of ironed out the initial kinks and now it's open to the public. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I also watched your mastermind calls, which are really cool. And I took a lot away from that and lost some weight from after lockdown.
And if people want those, I've got them all recorded, you know, reach out. There's, I think, probably 5 or 6 hours of footage where I say I literally give away everything. Like I can tell you everything you need to know and a percentage of people will succeed from it. And then the actual week-to-week accountability and, you know, the identity shifts, that I literally can't convey over a video. I have to be talking one-to-one with people. So I'll give you everything I can. And the rest is,
That's awesome. And I would highly recommend anyone that's watching to contact Emil and get all that stuff because I've got a lot of value from it. So I
thank
would
you.
Do that. Thanks for coming on the show, Emil. And actually, we chatted before. I'd love to come and visit in Portugal sometime whenever we can get clear.
Yeah, please do. Please do. It's perfect right now. So, so good.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming and talk to you again soon.
Cheers, dude.
Bye-bye.
Catch you soon.